Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show, for Wednesday, March 26, 2014. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up for free at the end of your stay. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. Today on The Dad Show, I'll be talking with Al Jardine about his celebration-full family trip this past February, split between Wilderness and Animal Kingdom lodges at Walt Disney World. Welcome back to the show, Al.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to talking to you about this trip that you took this past February. It sounds like you had just a pile of celebrations to celebrate one after another during this vacation.
We did. We were originally planning on going in October of last year, and that didn't work out because of life getting in the way. And we just kind of saved up all of our celebrations to hit it all on February when we got there.
Okay, so we talked about this before we started recording, but you had at least three celebrations, I think, if I'm counting right. You had we'll just call it a birthday for your wife. We won't say which one.
Yes.
We had your anniversary.
Yes, our 11-year anniversary.
Okay. And you also had a graduation to celebrate.
Yes, I was actually the oldest graduate of my County Fire Academy in December of last year.
Okay. And so let's step back to your planning process just a little bit, because you realized when you rescheduled that you were going to be doing, you know, all of these celebrations all together. So what kind of things did you do sort of in the preparation stage to kind of set the stage for all these celebrations?
Well, my wife has a habit of telling me we're going to Disney after the 180-day mark. So the first thing we did is we scrambled to find dining reservations at all the places that we always wanted to try. And then after that, we started looking at other activities to just do a little out of the ordinary while we were there.
Okay. So how close, how far in advance did you get to begin planning this one?
She told me in November.
Okay, so you had November, December, January. So you really only had, what, maybe 90 days?
Just a little over. I think it was 96 days.
Okay, and how did you find the dining pickings when you went looking for dining reservations 96 days out?
Well, the first thing that came to mind was 96 days out, I can forget about being able to get in to be our guest. It just seems that one, for whatever reason right now, is almost impossible to get unless you're hitting it 180 days plus out.
Right.
So we tried, but that was not available. So we went to the fallback for lunch at Be Our Guest at some point. Then, of course, the California Grill reopened last year, and we had not been able to try it beforehand because it was closed when we were down there last year. So I thought it'd be really nice, given that it was my anniversary, that it was my wife's birthday, and that we were going to be down there, finding reservations that fell some sort of reasonable distance away from Wishes, so that we can watch Wishes from the restaurant, became a high priority for me.
Okay.
And the closest reservation that I could find for Wishes was 7:55 on a Sunday night, and Wishes was at 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, that's doable, because you get your receipt, so you can come back.
Well, actually, it turned out to be more than doable. My son, my 8-year-old, he was with us, and we had planned to be at the Contemporary with reasonable time because we were taking the boat over from Wilderness Lodge. So we took the boat over and got there actually 25 minutes early. And we figured, all right, well, we'll meander around the Contemporary, take in the sights, and just hang out. And then hopefully when we got there at 7:55, I was planning on asking for a table window and letting him know that I'd be willing to wait as long as it took.
Right.
Well, my 8-year-old marched right up to the podium at 7:30 and let them know that we were there for dinner. And normally I would say, you know, when you're at Disney and you're wearing these buttons, it's my birthday or, you know, it's our anniversary. People key in on those things. And they do things for you. You know, they sprinkle pixie dust whenever they can, the cast members.
Right.
So I will say this. The cast members at the podium were very quick to get us upstairs and make us feel comfortable. And we'd let them know we were willing to wait. But in the 2 minutes that we got from the second floor of the Contemporary to the 15th floor, our table was ready by the time we got upstairs, 20 minutes early.
Wow.
Yeah, so of course I was very nervous, and I thought, here we go, we're going to miss Wishes completely because we're going to be done with dinner. And I know the element when it comes to my family. I know that once we have dessert, we're done. We got to go home.
Right. The 8-year-old's going to fade hard at that point.
The 8-year-old, the 38-year-old me is going to fade really hard. It was the most amazing pixie dust that I'd ever had up until that point at Disney. We had probably what was the best table in the entire house. It was right up against the window with no obstructions, clear view of the castle. In the 2 minutes that we got from the bottom floor to the restaurant, they had decorated the table with Mickey confetti. And it was just perfectly set as our anniversary dinner.
Wow.
When I let the waiter, Jason, know, and I remember his name because he was just phenomenal. When I let him know that I was hoping to have seen Wishes, he kind of winked at me and said, don't worry about it. We've got this covered.
Okay.
And everything was timed perfectly for that dinner. We had our dessert, and my wife put her spoon into the dessert just as the lights dimmed for Wishes. So that just
doesn't get much better than that.
No, it does. Well, it does. As far as fireworks goes, we were actually very lucky as well with Wilderness Lodge, because 2 nights later, Wilderness Lodge made us a fireworks family.
Oh, that's cool. Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute, because I want to make sure we get everything covered. So I want to pull you back for just a minute.
Sure.
Because that's a great – first of all, I love the California Grill story, and I love it when cast members go that extra mile. And you didn't even ask for anything in particular. You just mentioned that it was your birthday and you were hoping to see Wishes. And, you know, they ran with it from there. And, you know, that's a great example of why we do it, you know, why we keep coming back. I want to take a step back just to set the stage a little bit so that people understand. This was an 8-night trip, right?
Yes.
And you had split it evenly between 4 nights at Wilderness Lodge and 4 nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge, right?
Yes.
Now, was that your plan going in, or is that what you ended up with because you were doing this 90 days out? How did you come to the decision to split between those two resorts?
It was what we ended up with. We would have originally stayed at Bay Lake Tower had we gone in October, because the intent back in October was to go for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party.
Right.
And so we tried to get Bay Lake Tower 90 days out, and there was some availability, but it was it was two bedrooms, and for three of us, really, two bedrooms is does not make sense.
Yeah, you're burning your points at that point.
Exactly, because we are DVC members, and that's why we are able to go off as often as we do. And so we looked at what was available, and we really wanted to be somewhere near Magic Kingdom in the beginning. And then had we been able to stay at Wilderness Lodge the entire trip, I think we would have done that. However, Wilderness Lodge was not available for the entire trip.
Okay.
So when we started looking at other options, you know, obviously Saratoga Springs is a good fallback, but we had already stayed there twice in the last 12 months. So we figured, all right, well, we'll give Animal Kingdom a try.
Oh, so you hadn't stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge before?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I was able to get us into Jambo House on a Savannah view, even though it was 90 days out.
All right. All right. Yeah, that's where we stayed in January was in September was in a Jambo House, one bedroom.
Very nice.
On the Savannah. Yeah, it's a great place to be. Okay, so we've got that set up. You wanted to do some special dining stuff, so California Grill was the kind of the signature piece for your anniversary.
Yes.
You tried for Be Our Guest. That didn't work out for you. And what were the other kind of, you know, dining plans for the trip?
Well, it fluctuated. We, you know, because we had that argument that everybody has, are we going to do the dining plan or are we going to use our tables and Wonderland card? So we ended up deciding to just stick with tables and Wonderland for this trip. So at first we had signature restaurants three nights out of the eight. And we just decided that it didn't make sense economically.
Right.
So originally we had California Grill, Artist Point, and no, I'm sorry, we had four. We originally had California Grill, Artist Point, the Yachtsman, and
Geeko, because you were going to be Animal Kingdom.
Geeko, yes.
Okay.
It almost didn't come to me. It came to you first, though.
Right.
So yes, we had Geeko. And it turned out that essentially the only one that survived, the only signature that survived the cut ended up being the California Grill.
Okay.
Instead, we ended up having Ohana one night, which I'd never been to before, which I know is almost sacrilege for a Disney fan.
I'm impressed you landed Ohana 90 days out.
We did. It was. I was surprised, and that was all my wife. She worked the Disney website diligently, and just one day called me up and said, "I happen to have Ohana for 7:30 on such and such a night." And immediately, I said, "I'll take it." we ended up trying. We planned on doing Ohana. We planned on doing the Liberty Tree Tavern, but that didn't even survive the trip because 3 days into the trip, I ended up having bronchitis.
Oh.
So that our dining plans fell apart, and then we just kind of muddled our way through. But in a rare, you know, most people are complaining about my Disney experience these days.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, the one place where my Disney experience really was a home run for me was, you know, one night we didn't really have any dinner plans, and we were just all feeling pretty tired, and I think I was running about 102 fever in the Magic Kingdom, and I jumped on there and had reservations for Sanaa 40 minutes from when I jumped on the phone.
Nice.
And we were able to time it perfectly, get on the bus, get over to Sanaa, have a dinner that was not early, not late. It was just perfectly timed, and go back to the room and relax and try to build up energy for the next day.
Right. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you know, being sick in general while you're on vacation is rough. And it's especially hard, I think, sometimes at Disney World, just because things are spread out and you're moving around a lot during the day and it is wearing on you. And it's nice to have something come together for you like that on a day when you're not feeling at your best.
Yes. I'm very careful when people do complain about my Disney experience. I kind of try to let remind them that it's still being rolled out. I think today was the first time I really saw the app actually ask me to rate it, and I've been using the app since April of last year. And I think it was very clear in April of last year that it was a beta.
Right.
You know, so it worked out well there. I think the other things that we did plan that we did get to do were always early in the day, like Kona for breakfast. I really wanted to try the Tonga toast and Tusker House for our character meal while we were there.
So let's talk a little bit more about these dining experiences, because it sounds to me like you ended up with sort of a tour of Disney fan favorites. You already hit California Grill, and you talked about what a great experience you had there. Let's talk about Ohana, because you said you'd never eaten there before. What did you think of it?
I can see why it's very hard to get reservations there. First of all, just the experience of coming in, I thought it was very cool that they call you cousin. They're very friendly, and I mean, even for Disney, they're really friendly. I almost felt like I was walking into a family's house for one of my distant relatives to come over for dinner.
Right.
That's how friendly they were, and the only thing that I could do without is that long line that you got to wait to check in.
Yeah, that check-in line is one of the more intimidating lines in Walt Disney World, I think.
Yeah, and I really don't think it's so much the cast members or the management's fault. I think it really is that the layout, the way it's laid out, the elevators kind of come out right by the podium.
Right.
So you have battle-weary Disney tourists coming off the elevator, and they don't realize that there's a 40-yard line waiting to check in at the podium.
Yeah.
And they try to walk right up to the podium. So you have other tourists yelling at tourists, and that I found that to be a little bit stressful, at least for me and my family, because I don't really want to yell at anybody. I don't really want to tell anybody, hey, like, you caught me. To me, it doesn't matter if they're 2 feet in front of me,
right,
or 2 feet behind me. We're all getting there eventually. We all have reservations. We're going to get to our tables. Don't sweat it. But, the 30 people behind me seem to get mad at me because somebody cut me.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, I've been glad so far that it sounds like the restaurant spaces there upstairs at in the Great Ceremonial House are not going to be substantially affected by all of the renovations that are happening at the Polynesian right now. But I kind of do hope that because they're doing all these renovations, that they maybe take advantage of the fact that that's going on and maybe do something that might help fix that traffic flow a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really think that there's too much else that they can do. I think the cast members do the best they can with the layout. And I don't know if I would change the layout. I think the layout is very central to the Polynesian theme and the character.
Yeah, but what's interesting to me is that I noticed this, and I wouldn't have noticed it before, but when you go to Ohana for breakfast, for their character breakfast, the check-in desk is on the other side over by the Tambu Lounge. And they do it there because they do the pictures over in that area. But that seemed to me to be a much better place in terms of the traffic flow. And so I kind of wonder whether they can, I mean, maybe they don't do it there because the Tambu Lounge is used more in the evenings and they don't want to infringe on Tambu's space. So maybe that doesn't work, but.
I think the line would also probably impact Kona.
Well, that's true too. All right, so that's enough fussing about lines. The meal was good. You enjoyed the meal. Did your son enjoy the games?
Yes, he did. He swears he came in first in the coconut race, and I'm not going to tell him otherwise. my son is 8 years old, but he's a little shy when it comes to other 8 year olds and kids of his own age.
Uh-huh.
So that's part of the reason why we do go to Disney as much as we do. The interaction that he gets there is very good for him socially. For instance, with pin trading, he does very well with other people.
Oh, sure.
So he very much enjoyed it, and I can't say enough about how well organized it was, considering it really is controlled chaos.
Yeah, it is. And that restaurant's always packed. So it's pretty amazing that they, you know, do things like coconut races and limbo and all of that stuff in the midst of all of that chaos.
Yeah. And it's the same guy that plays the ukulele who's pretty good for, you know, for one guy walking around with a ukulele. He's definitely the hit of the night when he's singing to the couples.
Right, right. And, you know, as long as we're talking about food at the Polynesian, you also hit on one of the sort of fan favorite breakfasts at Kona. So what did you think of breakfast at Kona Cafe?
I thought it was phenomenal. I think, you know, as much as Narcosis and California Grill get a lot of attention, and definitely Ohana gets a lot of attention, I think Kona is, even though it's in the shadow of Ohana, it shines on its own. My wife had the Tonga toast, and I had the Big Kahuna, and we obviously traded plates halfway through.
Sure.
And we both could not say enough about that breakfast. It was the typical breakfast that we would go for on a weekend if we wanted to go out for breakfast, but cranked up several notches.
Okay, that's an interesting way to look at it. And so if you had to choose, has it become your favorite breakfast now, or is there one that you still like better?
We had breakfast at Boma, and I know that's a buffet.
Right.
So it's almost unfair to compare the two, but I think they're equally tied. I think if I had my choice, I would probably alternate days and go one day to Kona for breakfast and one day to Boma to Boma for the buffet.
See, my problem is that if I ate breakfast like that every day, I'd never be able to get into the parks. I'd just be waddling around.
Well, they do rent ECVs.
Okay. And so that there was one other ADR that I thought you mentioned. Maybe I'm forgetting it now.
We did the character breakfast at Tusker House.
And that one is an interesting one because, you know, there are really only, I can only think of a couple of character lunches that get mentioned frequently. One is Crystal Palace, and then the other is Tusker House. So what did you think of lunch at Tusker House? Had you done it before?
No, we had never done it before. And honestly, I'm adventurous when it comes to food, but within certain cuisines.
Okay.
And African and Indian cuisine specifically were not my wheelhouse. So I was a little nervous going in because I knew that it had a lot of African-inspired dishes.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I was very pleasantly surprised. The food was really good, and the staff was really good at helping you figure out what that dish was if it wasn't something you were familiar with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's actually, they do a good job of that there. And then also at, you also had a somewhat similar kind of meal experience when you had that, were able to score that last minute reservation at Sana'a.
Yes. And the funny thing is, I've avoided Indian food, you know, except for certain staples like chicken korma, you know, for years. And I have to tell you, the food at Sana'a has definitely made me take a second look at Indian food, because the food at Sana'a is kind of inspired by Indian flavors.
Right.
And I'm definitely looking to go outside of the box a little bit after going to Sana'a.
See, that, this is one of the things I love about, you know, just going out to eat at Disney World, right? Dining at Disney World. Because in the space of a few days, you experienced so many different cuisines, Polynesian, you know, traditional American food, and Indian and African. And you get a chance to taste these things, and they're things that you not only wouldn't normally have tried, it's things that you actively avoided for years.
Yeah.
But you get a taste of it, and it gives you, you know, it opens up another possible horizon for you.
Well, you also feel safe. I hate to say it, but I know that if I go to one of these restaurants at Disney and for whatever reason I don't like what's on the menu, I've seen them actually go off menu for my wife. I've seen them go off menu for other people and just ask you, well, what do you feel comfortable with?
Sure.
You know, in fact, at California Grill, during that dinner, my wife wasn't sure what she wanted as far as her meal, and they completely customized the whole dish for her.
Yeah, they're really amazing about that. And, you know, because they're so good about dealing with different food allergies and dealing with the fact that they're feeding, you know, however many thousands of children every day, they are really masterful at finding, you know, ways to meet diners and still introduce them to something new, but in a way that they're comfortable with.
Yeah, and when it comes to dining at like Animal Kingdom or all these places that have several restaurants, if for whatever unheard of reason there's nothing on that menu that you don't like, you can just take maybe 40 steps and and get somewhere that you can have something else to eat.
Yeah, that's true. I'm curious, how did your 8-year-old do with the African and Asian flavors?
We're very blessed that my 8-year-old will try almost anything. He's not a picky eater, and in fact, he's quite the opposite. So he did enjoy the soup that he had. He had the tomato soup. He loved the naan bread. Unfortunately, that day he was coming down with something as well.
Hey.
So, you know, he wasn't very interested in eating, but he did pick. And you know, the cast members that worked at Sana'a did everything they could to make him feel better. They produced blankets because he said he was cold. They produced hot chocolate because he wanted something warm. So, you know, overall, he enjoyed the food there, but I'm sure he would have enjoyed it more if he wasn't
if he was feeling better.
Right.
Sure. We kind of talked around it, but we might as well, and I think this would be helpful for people to hear, you know, when you do run into the situation where you're in the middle of vacation and you're feeling sick, how do you handle it? You know, we've done entire shows on dealing with disaster during vacation at Walt Disney World. What do you do when you're coughing, you've got a sore throat, you're running a fever, and you're at Disney World?
Well, it's funny because when we went on this trip, we specifically set out to experience new things, new restaurants, new activities, new tours, and I didn't set out to experience getting sick. But
not one of the new things on the list, huh?
No, but it worked out. I mean, because we have, you know, most of my friends and most of the family comes to me to plan their Disney trips. And I feel I've come to the point where I kind of feel like I owe it to them to know what I'm talking about, you know, not just what I like to do, but what everybody would want to do.
Right. Sure.
So we got down there and 3 days later, I just could not be in the park. I knew that going to the park was not going to happen. So we went to breakfast and then we went back to the room and I found what my options were. My options were either I could have a doctor come visit me in my room, and that's going to end up being about $300, 300 plus, and they don't take insurance. You have to put in to your insurance to be reimbursed down the road.
Right.
And I don't, I know that a lot of people can't afford that. I'm one of them. When I go down to Disney, all of my excess cash, all of my funny money is tied up in this trip. And a $300 hit on the trip is going to make everything else down the road on the trip just fall to the wayside. We're not going to be able to do all the things that we set out to do.
Yeah.
So I found an urgent care that is actually not too far from Disney World. In fact, they actually have, I believe, 7 locations around Disney World. And they will pick you up at your resort. They'll drive you over there. The whole process takes about 2 to 3 hours, but they take insurance. They, you know, all you have to do is pay your copay for the visit and your copay for any prescriptions that they give you, and you're on your way with a diagnosis and a method to get better.
That's great. And they have the dispense right there?
They dispense right there.
Wow.
And in fact, you know, I got to say this. They were almost like an extension of Disney as far as I was concerned. The driver that I met was very polite. He was almost not quite Disney cast member level nice.
Okay.
But definitely close. The nurse that took care of me, even the doctor that took care of me, they were just as nice. They were willing to, you know, show me how to get to the pharmacy, you know, 2 blocks down if I felt that I could get a better deal on the prescriptions there. So they didn't, you know how, like,
you didn't feel like you were being gouged by somebody who was taking advantage of you.
Not at all. I didn't feel like it was highway robbery at all.
Sure.
You know, and they took care of me. They got me back. The driver made conversation to try to make me feel better. He even slowed down because on our way in, on the Magical Express, I wasn't able to get a picture of the arch at the front.
Oh, so he slowed down for you so you could grab a picture.
So he slowed. Yeah, exactly. He slowed down. He found out that I had an 8-year-old, so he gave me a ton of Universal stickers for my 8-year-old because he knew I couldn't get them at Disney.
Right.
You know, and, you know, 2 days after I went, I was back there with my 8-year-old.
Right, right. Because that's what happens with infectious disease. It passes around.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, so it sounds like as annoying as it was for a couple of days, it all worked out pretty well fairly quickly.
It did. I wasn't 100% the next day, but definitely by a day and a half later, I was definitely able to enjoy as much as I'd hoped to. And we only had to slow down a little bit for the day in between.
Well, that's great. That's that, you know, it's something that could have really put a big damper on the whole trip, and you found a way to deal with it pretty quickly and kind of cut the downtime short. One other thing, this is one of those places, you know, people often don't think about this when they think of, make a decision about whether or not to buy travel insurance. But this is the kind of thing that travel insurance will cover. Travel insurance will cover that $300 copay if you want the doctor come into your room. And, you know, most of you're not going to plan for that, obviously. But I just like to remind people that, that we're not just talking about lost luggage when that subject of travel insurance comes up. There are other places where it's useful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We take the insurance whenever we can, especially because you never know when something's going to go wrong. I'm a diver as well, and you know there are inherent risks with that when
sure.
we go on a vacation that I can dive on. So I'd hate for anything to happen and my wife to be stuck trying to figure out how to get me home.
Right. Sure. Exactly. Okay. So we've covered dining. We covered your little kind of emergency, not quite emergency, but the little health challenge. So let's go ahead and make our round robin of the parks and just kind of talk about some highlights in each park, maybe, you know, as your trip went on. Obviously, you spent some time in Magic Kingdom. Any particular things that you knew going in you really wanted to do at Magic Kingdom and anything that stood out from that?
Well, we surprised my son with a trip to the Pirates League the second day that we were there. So that was his new experience that we set out for him to have. And that turned out to be really cool. He enjoyed it very much. You know, I was just talking to a friend about this the other day. You know, the girls have Bippity Boppity Boutique. And you must see hundreds of little princesses running around. And I just think it's cool that they did something a little like that for boys, but it has its own significant character. And everybody that works at the Pirates League just goes over the top with their pirate character that you can't help but be infected by their enjoyment of being in the pirate setting and talking like a pirate. So even though my son was having the makeover and becoming a pirate, I really was envious, and I wish that I could have done it too.
Well, now, and see, that's the cool thing, is that unlike Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which, you know, has an age cutoff, I believe that I'm not even going to guess because I'll be wrong, but there's an age cutoff at Bibbidi Bobbidi. They won't let, you know, moms can't go do it. Dads can do Pirates League.
Yes, that I know that. I lost that argument, however. So, but yes, I want to say the Bippity Boppity Boutique cutoff is like 14 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was thinking it may only be, part of me says it's 12, but that's why I didn't want to say, because I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but I do know that I did catch my wife speaking to two little princesses at one point and their mom, and both moms were very upset that they were over the age cutoff.
Right. So Magic Kingdom Pirates League was the big hit, and sounds like something you're definitely glad you did and you would recommend. Any other Magic Kingdom highlights?
Yes, we did the Family Fun Tour.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is pretty much, the only way I could put it is it's like a scavenger hunt around the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And it's guided by a cast member whose specific job is to do the Family Fun Tour. And it takes you to all of the areas of Magic Kingdom. It's kind of like a 2 hour and 15 minute whirlwind tour. But you don't, at any point, you don't feel like you're being rushed. You know, you're finding items that were kind of stolen by one of the villains.
Okay.
And along the way, you have to do certain things to find these items. On our particular day, we got to play Follow the Leader on the way back to Main Street from Tomorrowland, where everyone had to draw a coin and get an animal. And we each took turns being the lead person in the group, but we had to pretend to be that animal while we were leading.
Okay.
So in my case, I drew dinosaur, and I got to be a 38-year-old man running around the border of Tomorrowland and Main Street like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I got to tell you, I had no shame running up to people and doing my best dinosaur scream.
Love it. Love it.
And it's almost like getting a license when you're with a tour guide to be as silly as you want to be.
Sure. Yeah, because you're somebody else's responsibility now. You don't have to be the one in charge.
Right. Yeah, and that I thought that was great. And unfortunately, because it is a scavenger hunt, I don't want to ruin it for anybody that wants to go.
Yeah, no. Let's not. We don't need to talk about details. I will ask one detail. If you don't mind, ballpark, what did it cost you?
For the three of us, it ended up being $86 with our pass holder discount.
Okay. And about how long was it?
2 hours, and it's supposed to be 2 hours, but just like everything else, they don't rush you.
Okay.
So we ended up probably getting an extra 20 minutes of time with the tour guide at the end of the tour, just having a little bit of personal time with him and interacting, getting to take pictures with all the items that we found, and getting some tips and advice about how to make our way through the Magic Kingdom.
Okay. Well, that's not bad at all, really. I mean, there aren't very many tours that work well with kids under the age of what is it, 14 or 16, where they'll allow them backstage. So that sounds like a pretty good deal for something that, you know, doesn't go backstage but does engage the kids.
Yes, and I got to tell you, there are some surprises along the way that are moments that you would probably pay that much money just to get that particular moment.
Okay, that's high praise. All right, so let's hop the monorail over to Epcot and talk a little bit about any parts of your plan that were important to you at Epcot, any particular focus there, and then highlights, things that stood out.
Well, I did actually forget that we did have an ADR for Chef de France.
Okay.
For one of the nights that we were there. It was actually Valentine's Day. So we were able to have Valentine's Day dinner at Chef de France. That was one of the things that we really wanted to do. We also kind of enjoyed going to the various countries. We went to the pastry shop at France. We also went to the Chinese restaurant, the Nine Dragons in China, and Via Napoli in Italy. So we obviously, as you can tell, we like to eat. So
yeah, you did quite the tour there, the international culinary tour there.
Yes, we actually on one of the days that we were there,
France,
I think
France, China, and Italy so far that I've caught.
And that was actually, we didn't have dinner in France on the same day, but we did have pastries in France that same day that we had dinner in China and lunch in Italy.
Okay.
And we kind of set out to do that because, first of all, I work in New York. I live in New Jersey, and pizza is big here. This
sure.
is, the first three pizzerias in the United States are all within 10 minutes of my office.
Okay.
So when you hear that the pizza at Via Napoli is as good as the pizza in New York, you got to go there and you got to see if they're lying or if they're telling the truth. Because they do go to a lot of great lengths to make the pizza as authentic as possible. In fact, I found out while I was there that they literally ship the water for the pizza dough from Pennsylvania, from a spring that they tested and found to have the right mineral content and pH balance to go with the flour that they use to make the dough.
Right.
So I said, I got to try this. And I also make pizza at home, and my wife swears that my pizza is the best pizza around in New Jersey. Well, we had the pizza at Via Napoli, and my wife very politely told me that my pizza was no longer the best pizza she'd ever had.
Wow.
And I will agree with her. The pizza at Via Napoli definitely is up to snuff. It's definitely the best pizza we've ever had. You know, and I think the chef's from Staten Island anyway, so we could take a little praise that he came from this area.
Right.
The Nine Dragons I thought was good, but I don't know if I would go out of my way to eat there again.
Yeah, that seems to be the common thread lately. I mean, it has moved up the chain to the point where I don't hear as many people saying that it's inedible. But generally the complaint I hear is, it was okay, but I can get at least this good at home.
Yes, I would agree with that. Although, again, I mean, what does set them apart is the service. The service was really good.
Okay.
So While I'm not praising the cuisine, I want to make sure that I'm not bad mouthing the service, because the service was definitely good. And in France, we've been to Chef de France probably three times in the last year. We'll skip Narcosis, but we'll go to Chef de France.
Okay.
And we miss Remy. They don't have Remy there anymore. Right. We thought. You know, I know a lot of people thought that it was kind of a little bit goofy, but you know, we are in a place that was built for kids to and adults to be kids. Yeah. So I was always okay with having a puppet show up.
Yeah, Remy always made sense to me, and I was pretty disappointed when they pulled him.
Yeah, but again, the food. I think the food at Chef de France is really good. The lobster bisque is definitely my favorite lobster bisque in the entire world. And I've never had a bad meal there. So we're very happy to go there.
Sure. Sounds like it. Now, do you spend much time in Future World?
We do. We try to hit all of the important rides. We will skip certain rides. I don't do Captain EO. I don't think it's been updated in ever, obviously, because you can't really update it.
And it's actually kind of been, you know, if there's such a thing, it's been downdated, because, you know, when they took the film out and replaced it with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids there for a decade or so, they pulled out all the special effects stuff that had been part of the original EO show. When they brought EO back, really all they brought back was the film. They didn't bring back the special effects.
Well, that makes me glad we skip it. Because I thought it was just okay when I saw it with the special effects. You know, I don't think it has a lot of repeat value.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, just for a contrast, I think Muppet Vision 3D has more repeat value.
Sure.
Than Captain EO. You know, so we don't do that. We always try to do the Living Seas, because I think the Living Seas as a kid is probably what kind of lit the spark in me to become a diver in the first place.
Oh, okay.
So it holds a very special place in my heart. Soaring is a must do. Just like the Living with the Land. It hasn't been updated in forever, but we kind of have to do it.
Right. Gotta see the 9-pound lemon.
Yes. You know, Test Track, if you can get in, is a great thing. We got in this trip, while as last trip in May of last year, it was just down for the count the entire time that we were there.
Ouch.
So, and that wasn't planned either. You know, like, right, you know how they do the planned refurbishments?
Yeah, no, this is just the ride not working like it's supposed to.
Right. You know, and I got to tell you, with Test Track, it's just one of those things. The 8-year-old getting to design his car, he's in heaven for the 45 minutes that we're there.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, people badmouth the what am I hearing it called sometimes? The Testron or Tron
yes.
Track.
Yes.
But you know, people make fun of it for that. I got to say that the interactive components that they've added at the beginning of the attraction, I think they did a great job with. You know, I can't think of a reasonable complaint about it. I don't think it really substantially slows you down, because it just means you're doing something while you're waiting instead of standing in a holding room. And, you know, I get the same thing watching my kids do it and watching their reactions. It's just cool. And you know what? It's not a big deal that it doesn't carry through as well as some people hoped it would on the attraction, because that's not the part the kids care about.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, we probably had that one in 10 where it worked perfectly. The car carried through, and my son got to see his car up on the screen when we got into the test track vehicle. He got to see his car up on the screen as we went through, and it told him how well his car was doing. And at the very end, his car was up on the leaderboard.
Oh, nice.
So it just... And I agree, most kids don't really care, but on this one time where everything worked, my son Jonathan got to see it up on the screen the entire time.
Right.
And I'll tell you, that really does add a level that he was just super stoked about having been on the ride.
Sure, sure. All right, so we're going to hop a friendship boat, head next door to Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios is definitely one of our favorites, because we do go to Star Wars weekends when we can.
Okay.
And it does contain some of our favorite rides, like Star Tours. So that's a must do. My 8-year-old, believe it or not, is a huge Indiana Jones fan. So we have to do the Indiana Jones show.
Right.
And he actually recognized the two stunt people that play Indy and Mary.
Uh-huh.
I almost couldn't remember her name.
Right, right.
So he recognized them. He asked to stay afterwards, and oddly enough, she recognized my son.
Oh, wow.
So that was huge for Jonathan. Then we made our way over to the Rock and Roll roller coaster. Unfortunately, it was one of those days that I wasn't feeling so well.
Right.
So normally what we do is we try to get onto the Rock and Roll roller coaster at least twice in a day.
Right. Yeah, but when you're sick, I don't know that twice in a day is a good choice.
Well, my wife and my son got on twice. I only got on once.
Okay.
So when they went back for their second round on the Rock and Roll roller coaster, I decided, which we had never seen Fantasmic before, to wait online for Fantasmic. And I was actually number 2 online for Fantasmic.
Oh, wow.
So even though I wasn't feeling so well, we went. And when they got back, they found me, because they had already let me into the amphitheater. So we had pretty decent seats, even though we did not have the package.
Fast pass, you didn't do the dining package.
Right. So, but we did get really nice seats. We were about 6 rows back, and we specifically sat 6 rows back because a nice cast member told me that I was going to get splashed if I was any closer.
Warned you about the splash zone. We learned that the hard way the very first time we went to see the show, because the first time we went to see the show, I took one kid to go to the bathroom while my wife went and got us seats. And she got all excited because she'd gotten us great seats in the second row. And I came to sit down and I said, you realize what's going to happen here, right? There's a water mist screen. And she said, what's a water mist screen? So
yes,
we learned the hard way.
We did get a little bit of the mist, but not enough to really make things rough. I thought it was kind of cool that, you know, even though I was feeling not so good, it was an opportunity to get a couple of white wines and some desserts and sit and have that. You know, my son decided to sit one row in front of us, so it was almost like date night for me and my wife.
Sure.
And unfortunately, they did find the one thing that, well, not the one thing, but one of the things that makes me scream, take my money. which is the glow in the show, glow with the show ears.
Okay.
I have been waiting for them to come east from California since the first time I ever saw them on YouTube.
Okay.
And you can only get them, or at the time, Magic Kingdom was completely out of them.
Right, and it was just that stand outside of Fantasmic that was selling them.
Yes. So after much debate in my family, we each have our own set of glow with the show ears because they're the one ears that nobody's willing to share.
Right.
And so we have those. And Star Tours, we love Star Tours because it's got ridiculous replay value.
Sure.
You know, you every time you go, you're, you know, I don't know what I hope for more, whether I hope that I'm the rebel spy or that my son is the rebel spy, you know, but we're definitely hoping that one of us is.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, for Star Wars nuts, we love it.
Right.
So, but that's pretty much it for Hollywood Studios. Those were the must-dos, even though, I'm sorry, Midway Mania. I'm almost forgetting.
Oh, okay.
Midway Mania, for the first time I got to ride Midway Mania in the same car as my son.
Ah, okay.
Usually my wife gets to ride with my son because I'm a pretty big guy.
Right.
And like when we ride the Mine Train, I know it sounds crazy, but I don't want to ride in the same car with him because I create such a big gap in the lap bar.
Yep, I understand that completely.
That I have these like crazy images of him flying out, but even though I know he's not going to fly out.
No, but I know exactly the feeling because I do ride with my son, mostly because my wife doesn't. She's got some back issues, so depending on how she's doing, she doesn't ride coasters. And so I end up riding with my son, and I have exactly that fear because of the same issue. I'm a big guy, and, you know, he's seven, and there's a gap there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that at least for the moment, when we go on Splash Mountain, he's with Mom. When we go on the Mine Train, he's with Mom. You know, there are a few rides that I do get to ride with him because they have separate lap bars or shoulder restraints for each rider, so that works out well. But,
right. You
know, there's a lot of pictures of him on certain rides that I'll never be able to get in until he's the right size. That,
yeah, you're not nervous about it,
right? I mean, you know, my son is a pretty tall kid. He got to ride Space Mountain at 4,
right?
Because he met the height cutoff, and there's a pretty funny picture that kind of set the tone for my son riding at Disney World. I'm in the last seat of the Space Mountain car, and even though logically I know there's nothing I can do if this doesn't work out as planned, I have my hands on him, and I'm leaning as far forward as I can, trying to hold him into the car. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things, like, because obviously on that particular trip, I told Mom, oh, no, this will be fine. Don't you worry about it. Right. Everything's cool. But as soon as the lights were off, I'm just as nervous as she was on the queue.
Right, of course. Okay, so that's the studios. Animal Kingdom, you were staying at the lodge. Did you get a chance to spend time in the park as well?
Yes, we actually were in the park 2 days. We got to do the safari, which is a must-do. I don't think there's actually anything in the park that we didn't do. In fact, overall on this trip, I think it's really only Captain EO and the Space Orbiter that we didn't do.
Okay.
I'm sorry, and we didn't do Dumbo's Flying Circus.
Okay. What were things that you did do at Animal Kingdom that really stood out to you?
Well, we do love Expedition Everest. We're a coaster family. We do enjoy roller coasters. So that was big. We didn't do Cali River Rapids, because it was February. And unfortunately, the last time we were there, Mom got extremely soaked.
Yeah, you know, I seem to get soaked every time I'm on Cali, so it doesn't seem to matter.
Well, I have not been allowed to forget that the last time we were on Cali, she was extremely soaked, and I was dry as a bone.
Ah.
And right before the ride started, we had swapped seats. So, you know, and don't get me wrong. Well, we have a great relationship where we kid each other, and she is kidding, but she hasn't let me live that one down yet, that I swap seats with her right at the very last minute. Dinosaur, we've done Dinosaur before, but I think this particular time, the settings on the car were a little intense.
Okay.
And I really felt like I had just finished a mixed martial arts match.
Get beat up a bit, did you?
Yeah, and I used to do mixed martial arts, so that's why the simile is there,
right?
The comparison. I really did feel like I had gone 3 minute round with someone trying to pin me. That's how violent the car was. So I think we might skip that next time.
Okay.
Believe it or not, we love Primeval World. I know it's such a silly little ride, but it makes us laugh for the entire time that we're on it.
Now, I can understand it. It's my daughter's favorite, and she's had a couple of occasions where she's ridden because there was no line, because we were there during low crowd periods, where they've let her ride, twice in a row. I can't do it anymore. But she will.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I'm gonna get on those rides as long as I can.
Oh, I get on it, but I only get on it once, and then I get off.
Yeah, I mean,
she'll go back around.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else. The safari was good, but I've yet to see a good view of the lions on all the times that we've been on it. It seems like if you put me on a safari vehicle, I'm the opposite of catnip for lions.
You scare the lions away?
Yeah, but we did get to see the white rhino up pretty close. Close, I'm still talking about 30 yards away, because I think that's as close as you want to be to a white rhino.
Yeah, I think so.
So that was really cool. We had the highlight of that, though, was when we came off the ride. We had done the Wilderness Explorer thing this trip, because the last time we were there was the day before Wilderness Explorers started.
Okay. So you knew about it, but you just missed it.
Well, we not only did we know about it, but we got, the people that were going to be working the Wilderness Explorer stands at the time were undergoing training the last day that we were there.
Okay.
So they got to talk to us a little bit, but we couldn't really participate.
Right.
So it was almost like, here, have a little taste, but now you have to wait 10 months to even have the rest, to have the next spoonful.
Right.
So we did that, and they were very kind. They didn't give me weird looks when I asked for my own book.
Right.
And we did that, and there was a young man from Nigeria who was working as a cultural ambassador at outside of the safari, the Kilimanjaro safari.
Yeah.
And he was very nice, and he spent a good 20-25 minutes talking to my son about how things are where he lives.
Oh, wow.
And I think that was one of those things that, had we not taken the time to slow down and talk to him instead of just taking our sticker for the book and running,
right,
I think my son would have missed out on a good opportunity to learn a little bit of a little something about a culture that I can't really present to them. I'm not, sure. You know, I didn't grow up in Africa.
Right, right.
You know,
that's terrific.
I grew up in the urban jungle.
Right, different kind of jungle.
Yes, you know, and they, so they were very kind. It was him and another young lady who came along afterwards, and they were very kind, and they answered all his questions, even though, you know, an 8-year-old has 100 different questions.
Yes.
And I think that was a good opportunity. I think that was something that stood out for us as far as Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, you know, sounds like it.
And, you know, along the lines, along the way, we had kind of set out to play this game, I think I mentioned it before, where we were looking for the next letter in the alphabet. We started with A, and as we went along, we were always trying to find something that had the next letter.
Okay.
So, you know, when we actually, on our first day there, we got into town, we got to the hotel, we checked into the Wilderness Lodge, and we didn't really have a lot of time for anything else, but we went and got haircuts at the barbershop.
Okay.
And so B was for barbershop.
Oh, all right.
You know, and we just kind of played that game, you know, because we were trying to do something a little different to keep everybody that when we got home, we'd have something to talk about.
Right. So you know, just to catch people up a little bit, because we had this conversation before we started recording, you know, you guys had started a blog for this trip, and one of the things that was kind of a centerpiece for the story that you were telling, you know, through this blog was that you were essentially playing the alphabet game with the people who were reading your blog or following you on Twitter as you went through the whole week at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, we, you know, it's kind of like, the only way I can explain it is it's kind of a twofold thing. One, I try to instill in my son that writing is something that he needs to learn how to do and do well.
Right.
So when he's having a hard time, oddly enough, he has a hard time with nonfiction writing as opposed to fiction writing. His imagination is off the charts. But when you ask him to do something, to write about something that he's done, he has a hard time putting pen to paper.
Okay.
So that was part of the reason why we started this blog. The other reason we started this blog is we're that family that goes to Disney every chance we get.
Right.
And I think that we were really tormenting our friends by sitting and talking about our trip around the dinner table. So what we did with this is now if you want to know about our trip, you can. And if you don't want to know about our trip, you don't have to. You know, the choice is yours. You're no longer a captive audience.
Right, right.
And we wanted to make it interesting for our friends that could not go or have not been yet. And we figured that the playing the alphabet game was a nice little framework to do that.
Right. Yeah, and so it sounds like it worked great. I mean, you were working your way through and got your opportunity. You know, you did the barbershop. In some ways, it also encouraged you maybe to do some things you might not normally have done because you were prompted to do them by the next letter in the alphabet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to remember one specific one. I want to say it was, you know, The Pirates League, Jack, we were struggling to figure out what we were going to do for Jay. And just as we came out of the Pirates League with Jonathan fully decked out like a pirate, there's Jack Sparrow and he runs right into Jonathan.
Perfect.
So it was just perfect. And we got, you know, we got a picture of Jack and, you know, I think that if I didn't have him at Ice Cream, I had my 8-year-old at Jack.
Right, right. That's great. Okay, so we probably need to start wrapping this one up. I'm having a great time chatting, but I try to be respectful of our listeners' time.
Sure.
but I did want to ask, because, you know, we've talked about parks, we've talked about dining, and you had some really nice, unique experiences at the resorts as well. And so I want to make sure we touch base with those before we wrap up. I know in particular had an experience at Wilderness Lodge that I'm not even sure some people realize exists.
Yeah, I didn't even know it existed until the night that we were invited to be a fireworks family.
So explain what being a fireworks family means.
Well, most people kind of know what a flag family is, where you get to go up, put up the flags over Wilderness Lodge, and if you so desire, you could come back and take them down with the ranger at the end of the day. There is a flag family every day, as far as I know. The fireworks family is very similar in that you get to go to the roof of the Wilderness Lodge, but there is not a fireworks family every day. You can ask to be a flag family, and they will do their best to accommodate you. My understanding is if you specifically ask to be a fireworks family, the answer is going to be no. The way it was explained to me by a cast member is that the fireworks family is something that they try to only do once in a while, and they wanted to keep it special because it seems that everybody's always asking to be a flag family. So they didn't want it to become something like the flag family where everybody's jockeying for position to be the fireworks family.
So this is, echoes back to the conversation that we had on the panel show, a few weeks ago, where we were talking about pixie dust and how, there are these great pixie dust moments, and unfortunately some of them have gotten, polluted by everybody wanting to do it, and then it no longer becomes pixie dust because it's not possible to accommodate everyone, so it just goes away.
Right. And the folks at Wilderness Lodge are very cognizant of the fact that if it became as easy to get as some of the other pixie dust moments that are built into the entire framework of being at the resort, then it would kind of lose a little bit of something.
Right.
So what being a fireworks family entails is you're told to be back at the front desk at the concierge 15 minutes before fireworks at Magic Kingdom wishes. And once you're there, once you're checked in, you go up to the seventh floor, which is the club level, and you go through the club over to a very nondescript door that leads into another stairwell. And that stairwell actually goes up to the eighth floor of the Wilderness Lodge, where you can actually see down onto the totem poles, which the totem poles are seven stories tall.
Right.
So this is the only place that you're actually indoors and higher than the totem poles. And you follow that up to another set of stairs, which leads right out onto the roof, and it works its way all the way up to where the flagpoles are. And I got to tell you, I thought that the California Grill was a great view, but the view from the Wilderness Lodge has to be the best view in the entire resort.
Wow. That's high praise.
I know it is. And the reason I say that is because you can see every landmark from up there. You can see the Contemporary. You can see the Grand Floridian. You can see the Convention Center in Orlando proper. You can see Animal Kingdom. And, I mean, you have a 360 panorama of everything around you. And the rangers know where everything is. And, again, they are Disney cast members, so they will take the time to sit up there and show you where everything is.
Right.
Once the fireworks kick in, you can see every firework because you're angled so that you see the castle, but you know the fireworks actually go off behind Fantasyland,
right?
But over Fantasyland, they're launched from behind Fantasyland. So the angle is perfect because you see the fireworks in their entirety. You're far enough away that, you know, in my son's case, and even in my case, I'm not a big fan of explosions.
Okay.
You know,
I can understand, having graduated from the fire academy, that explosions would not be a pleasant, you know.
Well, beyond that, I was a first responder at September 11th. So.
Okay. So there's another good reason.
So, you know, with that in my past, loud noises tend to draw my attention and put me a little bit on edge sometimes. Being this far away, it was, to me, the perfect distance where my son didn't have to cover his ears. I could just relax and be in the moment. And it was just the three of us on the roof with the ranger watching the fireworks. And, you know, it's the perfect way to finish your night at Wilderness Lodge. What I will tell you is they told me that they personally look for families that are celebrating something.
Right.
And in our case, because we were celebrating not only my wife's birthday, but our anniversary and my graduation, that's what they honed in on. And they also honed in on the fact that, or in their opinion, we were having fun.
Right.
We walked in the door having fun. When we walked in to check in, there was a little bit of a hiccup with our reservation, and we didn't have a problem with it. We knew it was going to get worked out. So instead of giving them a hard time, we were just goofing around, having fun, and we told them no problem, like, you know, joking around. And they honed in on all of these things in totality and offered it to us.
Right.
So essentially we were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I don't know how often they do it, but I would recommend that if you have the opportunity and somebody invites you to be a fireworks family, you absolutely take advantage of it.
That's not the night to say, oh, gee, we were planning on seeing the parade, so we won't be able to make it.
Right. The parade will be there. The fireworks family will not. And, you know, we actually met another family that they had been to urgent care the night before we were a fireworks family.
Okay.
So with their daughter having an asthma attack.
Hey.
So we, you know, I do regret that they didn't meet us, but we actually invited them to meet us. And, you know, I know that you said this on one of your previous shows. We were ready to give up being a fireworks family if that family showed up and they couldn't take both families.
Right, right.
You know, because, like, I think that one of the things that we enjoy about getting pixie dust is at some point we do realize, all right, we've gotten our share.
Yeah.
It's time to pass it on.
Right, right.
You know, so if we're walking down the street and we just happen to have an extra card for the Sorcerer's game that somebody doesn't have, we'll give it to them. You know,
right.
But again, if you have the opportunity, I would definitely recommend it, and it's really cool.
Well, Al, I've really enjoyed talking to you about this trip. Thank you so much for sharing all of the stories. It sounds like just a magical vacation.
And I always enjoy talking to you, Aaron.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and hopefully we'll be back to talk again after your next trip.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Dad Show. We'll be back live on Sunday, March 30th at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can listen in at radio.dizdads.com, where there's also a chat room, and you can even get the instructions to join in on the conversation live. I look forward to talking to you then.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark. come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.